scare stories bring higher ratings. So Bob Lichter is upset about that media coverage of risk. He's head of the Center for Media and Public Affairs, a group that studies the accuracy of media reports on things like science. Also joining us is another media skeptic, Michael Moynihan of Reason Magazine. So Bob, I'll start with you. The media just get it wrong?
Pretty much. The media will tell you just about everything out there is dangerous to you, and the scientists, when you ask them if the media is right, will overwhelmingly tell you that that's wrong.
And we're not evil. I assume we want to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah. In a way, that's the problem. You win a Pulitzer Prize or boost ratings by showing that there's some terrible thing out there that's about to destroy you, and probably there are rich and powerful people behind it.
You mentioned talking to the scientists. You did interview toxicologists, did a poll, and found what?
Well, the toxicologists, who are specialists in chemical risks, when we ask them about particular chemicals that have been in the news, BPA, phthalates, Teflon, artificial sweeteners, they rated all of those chemicals as being less risky than aflatoxin, which is a naturally occurring fungus that you find in peanut butter.
But it's natural, so people think of it, anything natural is safe, but chemicals kill people.
Right, and incidentally, the toxicologists also say just because something's natural doesn't make it any safer than artificial.
And I just think your survey is hilarious because your toxicologists rated the accuracy or the inaccuracy of media. The worst local news, broadcast news, cable news, USA Today, 90% inaccurate. Most accurate, Wikipedia and WebMD. It sounds like we're not doing our job.
Pretty scary. It means that scientists say somebody can come in off the street, like you can on Wikipedia, and make it up, and that does better than the New York Times or PBS.
And we are convincing the public, are the scaremongering works. People we interviewed in Times Square are convinced that industry is poisoning the world.
We've heard the environment greatly.
There's a lot of things we know now are carcinogens.
We might cease to exist if things don't get better.
It's not just the hyping, the words, it's also the music that gets you.
You can't see it or smell it, but experts warn there's a dangerous amount of chemicals out there polluting our air, leading to premature death and disease.
And then there's global warming.
If we continue on this trajectory, by the end of this century, we could have a 9-degree increase in temperature, which means that life as we know it is not necessarily going to exist.
Life as we know it will not necessarily exist.
Yeah, I mean, interesting is the first person, the first report there is about air quality. Air quality in America has gotten better by orders of magnitude in the past 10 or 15 years. Tell somebody that in the street, and they'll look at you with a baffled look in their face. No, of course it's not.
Did you know that in the audience? Let me just ask you, how many knew that the air has gotten cleaner over the past 30 years? Well... Yeah, that's, I think...
There's one guy, yeah, significantly cleaner, too. So, yeah, I mean, this... Look,
we used to have to keep our windows closed in New York City because the soot would pour in.
Yeah. I think people are tiring of these stories. When I was younger, if you had saccharin in your coffee, it would give you cancer. If you lived under power lines, it would give you cancer. All of these things have been debunked. So I think piece by piece, people are getting slightly more skeptical. And we have things like the internet and people like Wikipedia who are challenging some
of these stories. But they're not skeptical of the fear of terrorism. We put up with big disruptions because we fear that.
Yeah. Terrorism is a different case in this for one reason only, and it is 9/11. Since 9/11, if you were to be a victim of terrorism outside of a war zone, so we're excluding Baghdad and Kabul and things, the odds of being killed in a terrorist attack are about the same of the odds of, as you mentioned in the intro, of drowning your bathtub. It's virtually non-existent. The odds of there being a terrorist attack that's going to kill you in Akron, Ohio, for instance, are virtually nil. It's almost non-existent. So we also have people getting money for this. I mean, enormous government bureaucracies that are created. Studies that have shown that huge amounts of money going to small towns in Kentucky to prepare themselves against terrorist attacks. They're not going to happen in Kentucky. It's a simple fact.
And to me, some of the stupidest scare stories are generated by Time and Newsweek. The most viewed story on his website is one that they did on the top 10 most absurd Time magazine covers. So let's look at some. The Columbine effect.
Yes, the Columbine effect.
Why some kids snap.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the story there is, keeping in mind, by the way, virtually everything we knew about Columbine within the first month and within the first couple of years turned out to be wrong. The kids weren't racist, they weren't bullied at school, they actually were the bullies in a lot of cases. And the idea
that the message that came to people
is that schools are dangerous. They're not dangerous. The idea that people are snapping, kids are snapping and going on shooting rampages, it's just not true. But those stories are out in front. They lead the news. They terrify people. Virginia Tech, Columbine. It's actually not that frequent, though.
The truth is that kids are safer in school than at the mall.
That is true, yes.
Another one, crack kids.
Yes.
We heard so much about crack babies. Their mothers use drugs. Now it's the children who suffer.
Mothers obviously shouldn't be smoking crack when they're pregnant. I don't think there's anyone's going to argue with that. But there was a recent study of doctors who had followed these so-called crack babies. And the difference between were negligible. There was the epidemic, the so-called epidemic of crack babies never actually panned out.
How about this cover? Pokemon. For many kids, it's an addiction.
Yeah. This is a fantastic story, the Pokemon addiction. It's a fad amongst kids. They were, you know, killing for these cards. There's no evidence of any of this stuff.
And it's gone.
It's gone.
It's hardly
completely
an addiction
gone.
That locked you up. Now, I should say we asked Time about this. They said the stories that we're highlighting are hardly reflective of the current Time magazine, which has different editors.
Yes.
Bob, you want to comment on that?
Well, I feel a lot better. I thought I was missing out on all this exciting stuff that was going on that I'd read about in Time magazine. But you know, one of the things you're talking about is that, you know, the news focuses on big events, a terrorist attack, a school shooting, and that's news. But things that go on and on, household fires, traffic deaths, that's not news because we just get used to it. It happens every day. So the news is going to put our attention on the things that don't happen very often, but we remember more because they were so novel. And journalism emphasizes that, makes darn sure we're going to remember them because it overplays them.
So Bob Lichter, Michael Moynihan, we'll come back to you in a bit. We're back with Bob Lichter from Stats, the Statistical Assessment Service. Michael Moynihan from Reason Magazine. And Lenore Scanese, author of Free Range Kids. Bob, first from you, what was the first stupid media scare that you debunked?
The one that most people in the field go back to is a 60 Minutes piece that was done on a pesticide called Alar. It's put on apples. And 60 Minutes, prompted by an environmental group,
it helped the apples stay ripe, stay good longer.
Yeah, you get red apples that you can leave in the stores longer because of this pesticide. And on 60 Minutes, it was suddenly, they call it the most cancer-causing agent in the entire food chain. And immediately, mothers all over America were pouring their applesauce out. The apple industry tanked. Farmers in Washington State were trying to sue 60 Minutes. And it turned out, you know, it's a random pesticide.
It's a pesticide side. That means kill. And that's why there's the cancer epidemic, I'm told.
Well, except that pesticides in general are regarded by most scientists as pretty safe. All of these things, pesticides.
And there is no cancer epidemic, right? People think there is, but cancer incidence has been flat. Cancer deaths are down.
Yeah, we asked scientists if there's a cancer epidemic. Two out of three said no. We asked environmental group leaders if there's a cancer epidemic. Two out of three said yes. You look at the media, there's a cancer epidemic, all right. There's no story in saying there's no epidemic. The story is there's something scary.
Let's take questions from you. Who's first? Yes.
Right here. This morning on the morning news, I heard that they said in a few years, snoring can actually become a leading cause of brain damage. What is your opinion on that?
Snoring?
Yes.
Like, wow, I hadn't heard that one. They keep coming up with new stuff.
Yeah, it's always something new. I think it becomes a brain damage problem if the wife goes like this, you're keeping me up, I can't stand it.
I mean, sleep apnea, which can cause snoring, can cause some problems, but it's low on the list, so snore away. Yes?
You mentioned that there's risks and there's imbalance in the studies quoted by news agencies. When can we trust the studies they quote?
One of the things we found is that over 90% of scientists said that the media can't tell a good study from a bad study, and that's the big problem. Journalists go into a study, don't have the knowledge or understanding to be able to evaluate the study, and go with their gut, which is, this looks scary. It's probably something I need to worry about.
A couple of days ago, I saw a study, which has since been walked back by the people who issued this press release, talking about something that none of you have ever heard of. And I'm going to introduce it to you now, because I suspect you'll hear about it again in the future. Third-hand smoke. You had second-hand smoke. Just being around people who are smoking is going to kill you. Third-hand smoke was a study that the media jumped on, that touching the clothes of people who smoke is third-hand smoke, and it might kind of seep into your pores, and you'll be this horrible, cancer-ridden monster who's just as the same as if you smoked every day. This stuff gets out there because it is sexy, and because people say, well, you know, it's good. Smoking's bad, so we should probably, you know, lead with one of these stories and, you know, let the people sort it out. So, there is that kind of bias.
Yes, ma'am.
With all these scare stories, what should we really be worried about?
That's a good way to end. What should people fear?
I'll tell you what I personally fear. I'm very afraid of cars. I want kids, yeah, look at the rolling his eyes. I think that you really, one of the most important things to teach your children, better, more important than don't talk to strangers, is look both ways before crossing the street.
Bob, what should we worry about?
Well, from the surveys we've done of scientists on the substances you come in contact with, overwhelmingly, anything to do with tobacco overwhelms everything else. The next thing, more than all of these various pesticides and cosmetics and stuff, is sunlight. A lot of people get cancer from sunlight. So before you worry about what's in your baby bottle or your nail polish, stop smoking and keep out of the tanning salon.
And I would add to that, don't get really fat and don't do things to excess, like drinking or drinking and driving, even worse. So thank you, Bob Lichter, Michael Moynihan, Lenore Scanese.